And be loved this morning, loved tonight, loved next Sunday, and next Sunday night. All right? And so we already know that, and I'm sure you're excited. And preaching on live. I can't get over. I told you the other Sunday, and we'll tell again. Roger and Joe ain't here this morning, so they might be listening. I'll tell them. Joe said that these messages on love is really helping her, and that's what Roger said. Roger said it's really helping Joe. Because she said, I used to just like to kick Roger, now I love to kick him. So it's really helping. I'm glad that we're increasing from like to love. All right, so anything will help. Now, whether Joe said that or not, I'm not going to say Roger would story to you. I'm just telling you that Roger's what told me. All right, so y'all have to discuss that with Roger, okay? All right. We come to the house of the Lord to worship. All right? And I want you to understand things about worship. We are to come to in His presence with singing. That's what the Bible says. But can I tell you, that's not the first step of worship. First step of worship is actually prayer. That's that one-on-one communion. So we come to the house of God, and you ought to have that one-on-one communion with the Lord. For years, we've made statements like about there's some people that come to my mind. My papa, Pat Cook, Lynn Schieffer, Naaman Moore. I've watched them be able to shout and praise the Lord in some of the deadest services. I mean, pitifully dead. I mean, horribly dead that you would have thought that you didn't know whether you was at a church service or not. I mean, awful. And I've watched Lynn Schieffer stand up and raise his hand and praise the Lord. I've watched Naaman Moore. You know, Naaman Moore just glad. If you mention Jesus, Naaman will shout. Yeah. You know, you mention the Bible, Naaman will shout. Mention praying, Naaman will shout. It don't matter. Naaman just ready. Because they do it at home, you know. I've watched Pat Cook cry and clap his hands and, why, Pat? Let's get out of here. But it was the house of the Lord. John and Judy know exactly what I'm talking about, just the way they were. My papa, I watched him come to church and shout and praise the Lord, and it was awful. Huh? Now, the reason I'm saying that is the atmosphere of the church don't have no bearing on our worship. Because that's my fellowship with Him. And when I come in, whether they sing the right song shouldn't matter. Whether they say the right thing shouldn't matter. And then we come for preaching. And why do you come to hear preaching? What do you come for? Now, if you're saved, do I need to preach you the gospel? If you're already saved, I don't need to preach you the gospel. Correct? Now, you say, but you better preach the gospel. Well, are you bringing anybody for me to preach it to? If you ain't bringing nobody for me to preach it to, then if I only just preach the gospel, then what's going to load your way? Okay? So sometime we come to preaching, and as we have this year, every Sunday this year, we've been preaching to us, not you, we've been preaching to us, that we might grow and be better Christians for Him, that we can see more people come to Christ, okay? So, and I say that not to defend the preaching, but to encourage you to keep coming and listening to the preaching on love, because it's helping me anyway. I hope it's helping you, but it's helping me. And some of it we got to laugh. Some of it we got to laugh to get through it. Some of it we got to be a little sarcastic just to get able to step over it. We do, because can I say this? We're not used to loving one another. We're not used to loving our enemy. We're not taught that. We're not taught. Bad as they said, we're not even used to loving our spouse. We love our children sometimes. Sometimes we, in anger, beat them to death. That's not love when you discipline in anger. That's anger. We still okay? So when we think of these things, we come and I'm hoping maybe we're learning a little bit. All right. So this morning we're just going to do our best to try to help us. All right. And there'll probably be some things pretty pointed this morning. All right. And there'll be some things maybe that'll open your eyes. I hope so. But maybe we can see the necessity or the seriousness of this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful. You're great, marvelous. Lord, we've sung about you today. We've sung about the cross and the rugged cross and near the cross and at the cross. And Lord, we've sung about you living, that you are our Redeemer, that you live. And then all that gives me hope that come morning, I'm going to walk by the shore with you. I just can't wait to get to see you this morning. And Lord, I know what I was. Lord, I may not fit every little bit of the song, but Father, I was as lost as any other sinner. And you come by and save me. And I remember the night that you saved me. I remember the night. I remember how I felt before you saved me. And I remember how I felt after you saved me. And I know how you've done things inside of me since then. And I thank you. I love you. Ask you, Lord, now to help me now. Cleanse me. Give me power to preach. Help me to do as you want me to do. And may every heart be attentive. Every mind be attentive. May we listen. May we apply. May we repent, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Genesis chapter 2 will be our scripture we go to in just a moment. But let's look at some things, all right? You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. And that's just true statements, all right? You serve what you love. You love what you serve, and there is no love without service. Now, last Sunday, we preached on loving our wives, and then last Sunday night, we preached on wives loving their husband. And can I tell you, if we truly love them, we'll be servants to one another. We already have preached about loving our enemies. Well, then we should be servants to our enemies. And then we looked at loving one another, the brethren. Then we ought to be servants one to another. But we started, if you remember, the second message was loving the Lord on that first Sunday night. We preached about God's love for us on that Sunday morning, that Sunday night, our love for God. And can I tell you, we ought to be servants for the Lord if we love Him, if we truly love Him. We ought to be servants. Now, that don't mean He is not a hard taskmaster. All right. He is a shepherd. He is a leader. There ain't nobody any better than the Lord, and he should not be hard to serve. But you remember, you serve what you love. You love what you serve, and there is no love without service. All right. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Out of all the things that I've preached, I know the scripture spoke to my heart, of course, but this statement rings in my ears about me being unselfish, that love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. A lot of times I want you to do better because it'll be easier on me. A lot of times I'd like for you to walk a little closer because it'll make it easier on me to pastor you. Maybe a lot of times in my family, I wish my family was a little closer, so it would make it easier on me. You understand? I wish Cheryl would live a little closer. It'd be a little bit easier on me. Now, we may not say that, but that's what we want, because if they live closer, I don't have to maybe live as close. All right? Because I'm selfish. I want it easier. Does everybody follow me? And that's really wore me out. I don't know about y'all. But then this in here has really just blown me out of the water. That love is the act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. I'm almost ashamed when I look at you and say, I love you. Because I don't know if I'm seeking the highest good for you. I want the highest good for you. I don't know that I'm seeking it. There's a difference between wanting and seeking. Huh? There's a difference. And I need to be seeking the highest good for another person. That might be right down to where the rubber meets the road, where you lie. When we each of us seek that good welfare for someone else. All right? We okay? All right, that's good. Now, we've done looked at all these things, all right? And we're down now, you know, husbands love your wives last week, and the wives love your husbands, and that was all exciting, and that was all wonderful. And like the feller said, you know, I'm glad that's over. But it's not over. It's not over. Now we're going to put it together. Now we're going to put the husbands loving the wives and the wives loving the husband together and bring the children in maybe a little bit tonight. Because we're going to look at the love in the home. That's what we're going to look at now. Love in the home. Love in the home. Can I tell you that the home is so critical right now? The home is, I can't tell you the importance of the home. I cannot tell you how the home is detrimental to everything, not just in our church, but to the whole world. The home is so detrimental to any blessing, to any goodness at all. And can I tell you this? You would think the church should be the center, but it's not. The home is. The home is the center. There was a home 4,000 years before there was a church. You think about that. Before there was a church, there was already a home. So that's where the importance lies. The home. Now, for all our society, for everything that's negative in our society, you can trace the root of the problem back to the home. For any bad attitude, you can trace the root of the problem back to the home. Are you hearing me? Any delinquency in children, you trace the problem back to the home. Society, the problem is the home. The White House, the problem is the home. Financial problems, the problem is the home. Worldwide, not just in America, but worldwide, the home is the main cause. That's the hub of everything else around. You think about that. And that's what we're going to try. And there's no way I can preach it all if I preached 6 months on just this. But we're going to give you some highlights this morning about love in the home, all right? The home, or should I say the right kind of home, is the most important, is more important than people even believe. The right kind of home. Maybe people say, well, just the home. No, it's the right kind of home. When a society lets the home fall apart, the whole nation will fall apart. And we see that today. We see that in America, that society has fell apart because the home was fell apart. The home was crucial and critical to the church. It's critical. That's what the church is made up of, is homes, huh? Not just the church, but then our country, and then for our children. Where would we be? Where would the children be if there wasn't the right kind of home? We all come, I look at you and I see there's different kind of homes that we was raised in. The same age. You know, I look here and me and Cheryl and Beeson and Garth and all, we're all the same age. I mean, we're all the same class, the same, we're right there within just a little bit, all right? But can I tell you that Garth was raised different than me? Beeson was raised different. Cheryl Ann was raised different than me. You understand? And we're all right here together. We're all raised different. Think about that. Think about that. Now, we all have good parents. That's not the issue. Huh? But we was raised different. But it's crucial in what me and Cheryl has brought together in our home. What we've brought together has changed my children. Changed my grandchildren. We understand? It's very important. All right? Now, God designed the home. Man and woman make up a home. Then God allows children to come along. Children don't make the home. A husband and a wife make the home. Now, they are added to a home to multiply the earth. That's why that we had children. Now, all homes don't have children. But all homes have a husband, which is a male, and a wife, which is a female. Now, I'm going to say that again because of the day we're living, that all homes don't have children. But all homes have a husband, which is a male, and a wife, which is a female. All right? Now, Genesis chapter 2, we'll start at verse 21 here. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right. Now, when we see that, that's God's first institution. That's what he made. He made man. A man needed a helpmeet. He made him a woman. All right. A man and a woman, as a male and a female, just like he had made everything else. Male dogs and female dogs, and male elephants and female elephants, and male monkeys and female monkeys, and then male people and female people. That's all there is. There ain't no different kinds of people. Now, identify as you want to, but there's males and females. All right? I've told y'all I identify as skinny. My belly is flat, the L solid. Okay? That's how I identify. All right? I identify as smart. That's how I identify. Highly intelligent. That's how I identify. Huh? I mean, if everybody else, if you identify to be a cat or a dog, I can identify to be highly intelligent. But God made it that way. And God put them together, a male and a female, and he made a home. Now, as he made that home, he made the woman from the man to be together. Not to be all different, but to be together. Even though they are different, they're still to be together. Does everybody understand that? And then it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, they were naked. There was no shame there. But there was also no secrets. There was nothing hid. And can I tell you, nobody started hiding anything until sin came in. And nothing was hid in the home until sin come in. And when sin come in and they started covering up stuff, they've been sin in the home ever since. Remember that. Remember that. All right? Now, God does not recognize, this is just extra, God does not recognize a homosexual union as a marriage or a home. Right. Neither should we recognize it as a home or a marriage. We should not support it as a home or a marriage because it is against God. Now, I didn't say we ain't to love. I said we're not to support it. Now let me say that again. We're to love the brethren, love our enemies, love our spouses, love our children. All right? But we're supposed to stand against wrong. Okay? Now just remember that. God don't recognize it. All right? Now, as God made the home, now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible under the direction of the Lord, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we, you know, there'd already been a lot going on. But look what he said. He said that Moses wrote here, and this is what God said for him to write, that man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, the reason we have to start here is because the love that's in the home, we want to separate all the time. And we want to try to separate husband and wife. And husband and wife ain't supposed to be separated. They're supposed to be together. All right? Now, not only do they become one flesh in a sexual union, they do become one flesh in a sexual union. Okay? But it's more than that. It's also they become one in mind. If that's not true, if you've been married a while, you know what the other's thinking. When something goes on, they just look at you. You know what they're thinking. Because one mind, huh? One heart. What breaks one heart breaks the other's heart. We still okay? Huh? The sorrow, joy, desire, goals, decisions, submission. Submission ain't just for the wife, but submitting yourself one to another, the Bible says. It does say for the wife to submit to the husband, but it also says for us to submit one to another. Amen. Okay? What the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? But then we're supposed to be one in love. Supposed to be one in love. It's not the husband loved the wife and then the wife don't, or the wife loved the husband don't. Supposed to be one. That love's supposed to be something that brings us together. All right? We criticize Job's wife in the Bible. All right? Because she told Job to curse God and die. And everybody always jumps on Job's wife. But can I tell you, I believe she was just being sarcastic to Job. Huh? Because she lost all her riches. She lost all her children. But she wasn't out yonder sitting on a trash pile scraping her sores. Huh? She was in there having to deal with it, and he was out there talking to his buddies. He should have been in there talking to his wife. Amen. Okay? That's what I see in that. All right? They were supposed to be one in everything. See, we forget that about Job's wife. She lost all her money. And she had them kids. And she lost every one of them. Am I right or not? Huh? So I just don't see Job helping her. Can I tell you, that's where he ought to have been. Huh? And Job ain't the only one that got more kids. Can I tell you, Miss Job got the kids too. She got all the riches and she got her kids back. Just like Job did. Alright? Now you say, well, the Lord didn't say that. Well, he didn't have to. Because they're one. Did you notice that the devil didn't do nothing to Job's wife? He didn't do nothing to her. She was under protection. Huh? The husband took it all. Just, if you want, how deep you want to go. Huh? How deep you want to go. Job took it all. His wife was protected. We still okay? Now let's look. The home's under attack. Public school is one of the biggest harms to the home that ever was. I don't like public school. I'm against public school. I went to public school, but I'm against it. It's one of the biggest enemies of the home. When they can talk to children without the permission of their parents about same sex, homosexuality, lesbian, pushing it, promoting it. That's the biggest enemy to the home. Huh? And that's happened right here in our own county. Huh? Media, Hollywood, sports, politics, all work to undermine the home. You say, well, how does politics do it? Well, we promote, we promote people like, I know a little bit of history, not much. How about Warren Harding? Let's go back just to the early 1900s, a whoremonger. How about Franklin Roosevelt, a whoremonger? How about John F. Kennedy, a whoremonger? How about Lyndon Johnson, a whoremonger? How about Bill Clinton, a whoremonger? And then promote them, make them all good, and to give them a lot of money, and to give them a lot of praise. I just want you to understand it's what they were. Amen. Okay? And not only that, they bragged about it. What do you think about it? And I'm not in politics. Nancy told me don't get in politics. Me and Steve. All right, we'll get it all of it. But can I tell you this? Instead of promoting the presidency of John F. Kennedy, we promoted his sexual affairs, and everybody was tickled when Marilyn Monroe went and slept with him. Bill Clinton having sex with all these interns. Well, let's promote it all. You know, it's trying to destroy the home. Sports. Say, how is sports hurting the home? Well, when you let boys play in girls' sports, you're attacking the home. Okay, I mean that man, this is true. All right, Hollywood. Well, we already know when you have the way the TV shows and everything is promote. You got promotion of the homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenders. You got transgenders teaching kids or how to read in schools and libraries. This is attacks against the home. All right? The media, any kind of media, social media, huh? Homes bust up an average of 52%. All right? Now, that's what it's been for years, but they say, I'm just looking at today, or looking at last night anyway, they say that has dropped to 37% because the people shocked up, they don't get married no more, so the percentage has dropped. Alright? Because people shocked up. Alright? The average home lasts 7 years. I'm trying to tell you that we gotta get some love back in the home. Is everybody understanding me this morning? Alright? Reasons for divorce, all right? Now, if you're divorced, I'm not mad at you. I'm not against you, all right? If you've been divorced, remarried, if you've done that 1,000 times, that's none of my business. Everybody understand? But I'm never going to stand up here in the pulpit and say it's okay. I'm never going to stand up here in the pulpit and say it's okay for everybody to do that because it's not. Okay? I have to tell you that. I'm not going to back up on that. That's the truth. Okay? Now, does God forgive? Yes, we know that. And that's not the issue here this morning. I'm talking about loving a home. We okay? But I want everybody to understand I'm not backing up on nothing. And I'm going to do our best to teach your kids and teach everybody. We okay? I love you. Can you say you love me, preacher? Thank you. All right. Reasons for divorce. Can I tell you? It's like a commitment. Because there's no true love in a home. So there's no commitment. Lack of commitment, if I should say. All right. Now, I didn't make these up. I went on Google, like Brother Rick, and found out what is the leading cause of divorce. And this has come right off their list. Okay? On the site I looked at. Lack of commitment. Money issues. All right. Think about that. Lack of commitment, money issues, infidelity was third. That shocked me. That infidelity being third. I would have thought it would have been first, really. But it's not. Huh? Domestic abuse, incompatibility, substance abuse. Huh? That shocked me. That didn't enter my mind about a reason for a divorce. Okay? Now you say, why are you saying that? I'm talking about the home. I'm talking about the attack on the home. I'm talking about the foundation of everything. And there has to be love in the home. Are we getting this morning? I'm not bullying nobody or mean mouthing nobody. I just want you to understand the truth and the seriousness of this thing. Okay? These are listed to be the main cause of divorce. Can I tell you that divorce rate of second, third, and fourth marriages increase each time? If you're married once, if you divorce and remarry again, then you're more likely to divorce again. And third time again. And fourth, I mean, that's what whoever data is. That's the data. Whoever statistic is. Okay? We okay? Now, those who live together before marriage have a higher divorce rate. Of course, they got to get married after they live together. But those who live together before marriage have a higher divorce rate. You know, we don't think nothing of nobody shocking up no more. and you're not practicing, what you're doing, you're being satisfied until somebody better comes along. And it don't cost you no money to shack up and break up. But it costs you money to divorce. Okay? And I know we don't like the term shack up because that sounds so crude, and it is. Shack ups are crude. Those who have friends who divorce have a higher risk of divorce themselves. Now, I didn't write none of this. I just copied and pasted some of it. 40% of marriages today include at least one of the couple that has been married before. 61% of the couples in which both the husband and wife are divorcing from a first marriage have children under 18 years of age. 1 in 4 children in America are being raised without their fathers. Children are more likely to experience behavior issues if their married parents decide to divorce when the child is between 7 and 14. There is a absent parent syndrome that doctors and psychiatrists and counselors deal with. An absent parent syndrome on the kids. When things have got so out of hand that now there's medical terms for it, we've went too far. Let me say that again. When we went so far that they've got medical terms and diagnosis for the repercussions. Nearly 3 million children live with grandparents. The highest age group is from 12 to 14, and the highest percentage are with grandmothers only. Not papa mamas, just mamas. Because if you go back, that home's busted too. We still okay? Now, you say, why are you telling all this? Listen, do you understand? I know I'm a dinosaur. I know that. I know I am. I know I'm old fashioned. I know I'm always, I know that. I just have problems. I just can't accept some things. I work with it. I got to walk around it. But I'm sorry. I just can't stand behind this pulpit and say all these things is okay. And I do love them. And love you, that ain't the issue. But we can't stand by and say everything's okay. Listen, all these things are wrong, and drinking's still wrong, and cussing's still wrong, and lying's still wrong, and gambling's still wrong, and cheating's still wrong, it's still wrong. I mean, I got different thoughts on a lot of things. I believe gambling's wrong in every way. I don't believe a Christian ought to have playing cards. I just don't believe none of that. I don't allow them in my house. I'm not going to touch them. I'm not going to play other games with them. I don't do that. I think it's all wrong. I don't think little four-letter words is okay. I think it's all cussing, all dirty. I think every lie is a lie. I just can't help it. Okay? I don't believe sin is a mistake. I believe it's sin. And I just have problems fitting in the world today and with preachers and everything else. I just can't do it. I'm not planning on doing it. And I'm not against it. Is everybody okay with the preacher this morning? Listen to me this morning. You say, well, you ain't said nothing about love. No, I'm telling you why we need love. Love in the home. Statistics, there's that guy again. 70% of prison inmates incarcerated for long-term sentences grew up in broken homes. That's what family separation statistics reveal. New data. Here's old data. He shows that the marriage breakdown increases the percentage of lesbian conduct. 3 times higher. Don't tell me things is okay. Don't tell me it's okay. It ain't. What has destroyed the home? Dad, mom, and Satan. Selfishness is the biggest enemy. Marriage without love, having children without love. Just because people have children don't mean that they love one another. That's because they had premarital sex. A lot of kids, and that happens, right? It shouldn't. I'm not going to stand up here and say it's okay. Right. And then if you're married and you have kids, there's ways to prevent it. If you don't want them. Huh? But having children without love. Absence of love for God naturally makes homes without love for one another. Because God is love. And you can't have a home with love if you don't love God or have God's love. Because God is love. Amen. You may think that it's love, but it can't be. Because God is love. Do you understand that this morning? If you're not saved, you really don't know how to love until God comes in your life. Because God is love. And the love that we do have before we're saved is the love that the world has showed us, not what God has showed us. I don't care how moral or how nice, you can't have love truly unless God's in your home. Amen. That's just fact. How do we have love at home? 1 John 4:11-12 said, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That's what I just got through saying. I'm not just saying words. It's what the Bible says. God is love, and with Him, if He dwells in us, we'll love, and we'll love one another. And it's, listen, it ain't against nobody. Everybody understand? This is for you. I'm preaching for you this morning. I'm not preaching against you. I'm preaching for you. I'm doing my best to lift you up in a higher way of living, a closer walk with God, a better way of life this morning. Huh? But it has to be told you. God did not intend for a man to be alone. Man was to be a social being. And without a wife, he couldn't even enjoy the things that God made for him. Because it says there in Genesis that it's not good to man be alone. Everybody know the scripture? And then the next verse says, then he started making everything. All the animals, bringing them to Adam and let him name them. But it said there was not found nobody for Adam. There wasn't found nobody for Adam with all the animals. He couldn't enjoy what God was making until he got him a wife. And then he could have joy with everything God made. And can I tell you, it's the best way. If you want to be single, okay? There's no condemnation there. It's good for a man not to touch a woman, sure. We got to go by, make sure our thoughts are pure, our life is pure, huh? If you want to be a pure virgin, the Bible speaks that that's okay. That's all well because your heart's holy to the Lord. All right? But not be single and be a whoremonger or not be single and be a whore. Huh? But be married and have obligation and commitment that you enjoy the things God made. There ain't nothing better than a husband and wife enjoying the things God has made. Huh? I would love for Cheryl to go deer hunting with me. I would love for her to. And she don't have no problem shooting, but she ain't going to sit out in the cold. She ain't going to do that. And she ain't going to get up early. She's not going to get up at 4 o'clock and go sit somewhere and just sit there till something comes through. She ain't going to do that. Huh? But I would love for that to enjoy. So we don't hunt together, but we'll go out in the woods and we'll go check tree stands and we do that. And there have been times we feast. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? That's what we're designed for, to be social. Huh? And God gave Himself, God Himself gave Adam a companion, and she was a perfect mate. How about ladies, you just go ahead and say hello, you're right there. You're a perfect mate. Huh? A perfect mate. We still okay? And I believe God put a love in Adam and Eve's heart. Huh? I mean, that's what they, what the joke says. You know, he said, Adam, do you love me? He said, who else? Right? Think about it. That's the way we ought to look at it. There ain't nobody else. There ain't nobody else, Sherland. There ain't nobody else. Huh? We still okay? I still believe he does the same thing. Huh? Now, we think of wrong kinds of marriage union. Let's look at Samson. Samson, he was raised right. His mommy and daddy, that he was a special child. They were dedicated before he was married. They taught him certain things. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. They taught him certain things. They raised him a certain way. And you can teach your kids a certain thing and raise them a certain way, but they still got to make their own decisions. You got to have the Lord in your own heart. Are you hearing me? You got to have the Lord in your own heart. And when Manoah and his wife had Samson, the Lord come and talked to him. They had to, had the things lined out for him. And what did he do? He says he was wrong and that he got married because of looks, not love. Because you read there about Samson, it'll say that he went down and saw a woman. He saw a woman. Well, he said, well, how am I going to get married and love somebody if I don't see him? Well, that way, that ain't what he went. He didn't think nothing else about that she was a Philistine, that she was an enemy, that she was a deceiver. None of that mattered. So that tells me he got married off of looks and not anything else. Huh? We still okay? Different religion? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, y'all, young people, some of you teenagers here, you don't need to be marrying an unchristian, somebody that's not a Christian. You shouldn't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, what the Bible says. Huh? I know that's not the normal, that's not the popular, but it's true. Huh? You shouldn't. You don't need you and courting and dating all this. You don't need this to be dating everybody and doing all this stuff. No. It causes feelings you can't control and causes bad choices that you wish you hadn't made, and it brings things on you don't shouldn't have to deal with. Huh? Can I tell you this is not popular and it's not easy to preach. Huh? And I'm not your enemy. I am not your enemy. Call me an old fogey if you want to, but I'm not your enemy. Huh? They took Samson's wife after she deceived him. He said, well, you just stay where you're at. Told them fellas, said, who put somebody done plow with my heifer? That's what he said. Yeah. You ever read that? I always thought a little thing like that was funny, you know. Somebody done plowed with my heifer. Huh? Well, that's what the Bible says. All right? And her daddy gave her somebody else. Huh? Then what did Samson do? Well, can't have her now. Dad done give her away. So I know what I'll do. So he found him a harlot. Boy, that was really smart. Found Delilah. Well, Delilah was probably pretty. She's probably pretty. But it cost him his eyes. It cost him his life. Huh? Now, Jacob and Rachel. Now, they had true love. Genesis 29:20 says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. Huh? You know, it's true love that makes for a happy and a contented home. I don't know if I could work for Paul Jean for 7 years just for you. I don't know. We have to study about that. I would have if I had been the. I think of Philip and Lindsay. Philip tried to get extra work and extra jobs and do everything so he'd have money and have something so he could court Lindsay. And I always thought of Jacob and Rachel when it come to Philip. He was cutting grass here at the church. I watched him. He was cutting grass on, I don't know if Rick was with me or not, but he watched him cut grass on this bank out here, and it was just dangerous. It was dangerous, but he was uninterested in courting Lindsay. That's what it all had. How many of us would labor 7 years for a wife? But it didn't turn into that. Look here. Genesis 29:27 says, Laban said, fulfill her week and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. He ended up working 14 years. 14 years. All I can tell you, girls, if you got a guy that loves you, if he ain't willing to work 14 years before he gets you, I don't know if it's true love or not. Think about that. 14 years of serving. See, true love don't know any limit. But now we're getting back into the home now. True love don't know no limit. Okay? Hey, Trevor, could you work 14 years? Be careful. Didn't matter what he had to go through to get her. Then it had heartache, but their love grew. She was barren, couldn't have kids. He had Leah, but it wasn't the same. He only wanted Rachel. Finally, the Lord blessed her and had Joseph and then died with Benjamin. But boy, how he loved Rachel. How he loved Rachel. Huh? We okay? Huh? True love costs something. Huh? We want love in a home. It'll cost you something this morning. It's going to cost you something way down inside. It's going to cost you some effort, some work at it. Huh? It's going to cost you this morning. We see true love is labor. It is labor. It is labor. Huh? We mentioned last week about how trifling some of us guys are. Huh? And how it takes a lot of work out of a woman to love her husband. Huh? Sometimes we're right trifling. You know, we can right be right dirty sometimes. You know, it's nothing for us to wear the same britches all week. Same shirt. It ain't nothing. They wear clothes anyway. Right? Now, everybody, maybe I'm the only one dirty like that. I don't know. Huh? And a wife will come through and say, you're going to have to wash them clothes. Why, you stink? Huh? And they just love us anyway and do our laundry. Huh? We see the true love does bring commitment. Look at the commitment that Jacob brought into the home with Rachel. After 14 years of being committed to her daddy, well, he was 14 years committed to her before he got her. Huh? Everybody still okay with me now? True love's patient. Huh? We're talking about in our home. Patient. True love's patient. True love's patient. You know, that's a quality that's not in our homes a lot of time. We're patient with others, but not our spouse. We're not patient with our children. Yeah. But we'll be patient with somebody else's kids. And we'll be patient with the neighbors. And we'll be patient with other people too, but we won't be patient with our spouse. Why is that? Well, maybe it's just because we take one another for granted. Huh? Maybe just take one another for granted. True love is kind. Wonder if we could read that together. Could we read that together? Just humor me. True love is kind. Can we read it again? I don't think everybody got in on it. True love is kind. I'm talking about our home. I'm talking about our home being kind. Are we kind down at the house? Are we kind one to another? See, our speech lets us know. Are we kind? Huh? Yeah, but I was born with a temper. Yeah, but you're supposed to be born again. Don't lay everything off on mom and dad. Be okay? We need the right attitude in the home. Ephesians 4:31. That should be 31 through and 32 there. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another. There it is again. That's in the Bible. Man, it ain't just a preacher saying it. That's in the Bible. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Man, that's in there. Constant complaining, nagging, sharp words, unforgiveness, laziness causes bad attitude. Bad attitudes separate. The demonstration of love draws. The cross is proof of that. Huh? Tell me that God loves me, okay. Tell me that God loves me, okay. But when you show me that God loved me and he went to Calvary, then I know. And can I tell you, the demonstration of love really, really makes the difference. Amen. That words are not hollow. Huh? And Christ is our example. Huh? We need the right priorities in the home. Not just the right attitude, but the right priorities in the home. God must be first. That's the priority. Not church. Not church. You can go to church and be wicked as hell. Church ain't the priority. God is the priority. Everybody that goes to church don't do right. Huh? God being first will bring spiritual growth. Read his word together. I read my Bible. Cheryl reads her Bible. But you know, Cheryl, one of the biggest failures we've had is not reading together. Do you know that? We have some, but not like we should. Seek instruction from it together. I seek instruction. You depend on me. We'll sit down. We'll look. But it's not enough. It's never enough. You know? And then rest on his promises together. You've encouraged me with them, I've encouraged, but we've never sat and claimed them. Just here and there, not regularly. Huh? You understand? Can I tell you that some of the greatest fellowship, some of the greatest growth, some of the greatest things of love will come when a husband and a wife get in there together and get with God. But we've always got something else going on. We've got the husband's busy or the wife's busy and we go our separate ways and we've done throwed away the supper table and we've done throwed away family devotions and we've done throwed away the prayer at night and now we're depending on a little here and a little there in between Starbucks. I mean, that's what we're depending on through life today. Huh? But it brings spiritual growth. That's a priority. That ought to be a priority in a home. We want our children to be spiritual, do we not? We want our children to grow up and love God, do we not? But yet we don't set that example and have that in a home. And it's husbands and wife, it's dad and mom and Satan that's to cause the problem in a home. Huh? Worship together is a must. Worship together is a must. Huh? This teaches strong relationship. Huh? When worship starts with prayer. Prayer together. Are we okay this morning? Listen, I'm trying to help us. I want us to have stronger homes and love in the home. Are we okay with that this morning? Listen, it's not against us, but worship starts with prayer. Worship don't start with singing. Worship starts with prayer. That fellowship. Huh? And we must pray together. Huh? And when we pray together, we're fellowshipping with God together. Can I tell you, it's real hard when you're holding hands with your wife and you're praying together. It's real hard to be mad at them. It's real hard to say something dirty to them, mean to them. It's real hard. Ain't it? Because that fellowship with God and fellowship with Him comes together. And it's a priority. I'm trying to help us this morning. I want a spiritual church. I want a powerhouse church. And when sinners come in, they come and get saved. And when people ain't right, they get closer. But we're the ones today that need the help. It's not just them. But we are. You understand today? When we learn how to fellowship with her spouse, when I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. Can I ask you, when I got saved, did Jesus not say that His prayer is that me and them and Him and the Father would be one? Is that not, I think I've read that in John. Lord, make them one with us as I have been with you. If I'm quoting anywhere near Scripture and y'all know it, y'all say amen there. All right. Well, if I'm at one with the Lord and Cheryl's at one with the Lord, I wonder how we'll be. We'll be that one that we're supposed to be. And can I tell you that if we're one like we're supposed to be, all of hell can't destroy what's in that home. Do you know that? It can't. They'll try, but it won't because we're one. Huh? Okay? We need to accept and commit to our responsibilities. Ephesians 5:25 and Colossians 3:19 tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Huh? Colossians 3:19. You know, everybody knows Ephesians 5:25, but we don't like Colossians 3:19 because we have to forgive our wife. Because we can't be bitter against them. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fitting the Lord. I think maybe the Lord wants us to love you women, your wives, like He loves us. And wives, He wants you to submit to your husband. I think it's in there. Huh? It's most important that we recognize marriages. That we recognize marriages fail because people fail. We fail. We do. We attempting to establish a home without God. It's in everything. Maybe in a little bit, but not everything. Huh? I'm not supposed to have a life. See, there. Everybody look at me. We want to separate. But when I come to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave Him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion can turn me away, for His love has captured my soul. Huh? Y'all know that song? I'm a prisoner of love. Huh? A slave to the master. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below. However, payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. But everything, I ain't supposed to have a life. Cheryl Ann, you ain't supposed to have a life. We're supposed to have a life. We're supposed to have a life with God. And then you walk with God. And then however He directs. Right? There was a time He directed me to be a coal miner. And there was a time He directed me to be a machinist. And there was a time He directed me to cut a little timber for old man Shane. There was a time He directed it and allowed that, huh? There was a time and He directed, 39 years He directed me to be a preacher of the gospel. Different areas He's called us to. But we're supposed to be His life as our life. We okay? I know what time it is. We're all right. Proverbs chapter 12. We can either stop now and we'll do it for 2 or 3 more weeks or get it over today. Which would you rather have? Proverbs 12:7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. Huh? Psalms 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Huh? Hebrews 3, verse 2. Now we understand that Hebrews is talking about, we got the comparison with Moses and tabernacle and Christ and the heavenly tabernacle and all that. But can I tell you, the scripture's still there. It says, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful whereat? Whereat? Huh? Hebrews 3, 5 goes on and says, and Moses verily was what? And faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Isaiah 32, and I understand this, the context here is Israel and the tribulation period. I understand that, but it don't do away with the scripture. For it says, and the work of righteous shall be peace, and the effect of righteous quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. I'm just telling you, that's where the home ought to be. That's how the home ought to be. And I believe today, we fail. But instead of quitting, how about we repent and return to the Lord? Why can't husbands and wives find a place around the altar and repent one to another? Huh? And to God. And let God change us. Me and Cheryl don't have a perfect marriage. I use her as an example. That's the one thing about a preacher. If you got children, they're going to be the blunt of many illustrations, and so will the wife. Huh? We've not always had it easy. We've had to go to our shame, me in the pulpit and her at the piano. And we've had to go to marriage counseling. We've had to go, not once, but we've had to go weeks for weeks, every week, sometimes twice a week, to our shame, to talk to another preacher, professional counselor, and set to try to keep our home together. Are you hearing me? You say, well, I've never done that. Well, I'm glad, but I have. Me at the pulpit and her at the piano. Trying to make sure that we stay in the will of God. Trying to make sure we stay in the love of God. Trying to make sure that we walk the path He's laid out because of everything that's at stake. Can I ask you this morning, the pressure that is on me and Cheryl to live right, there's a lot. Is there not?
Yes, sir.
Where would your confidence be in us if we busted up? Where would it be? Nobody's going to remember the thousands that's come to Christ. They're going to remember what we did. But why is my home any different than yours? Why is my home different than yours? Should not your home exemplify Christ? My home is supposed to exemplify Christ, but shouldn't yours? Shouldn't all of ours be together? Shouldn't we have a strong home? Father, I've tried to give as you've given me this morning. Lord, I ask you now to help us, Lord, to help husbands and wives, help us to have love in the home. Lord, this is serious. We've said a lot of things. A lot of things that nobody will ever remember. But Lord, if you'll cause us to remember the things that's necessary, help us to be the families you want us to be. Oh God, I pray for help this morning. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let's stand together and let's sing whatever you got, Teddy. 310, let's stand. If you feel like you need to come, you come this morning.